Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. It's a beautiful Friday. It's a tough Friday. It's a beautiful, beautiful Friday. And yes, people, the sun did come up on this June 16th Friday. And just to make sure we make the most of this Friday, my man Steve Rummage is in the building. I know Brian Hall wasn't ready. You want Steve. You got Steve. This is the kind of week that you had to have Steve. Not want Steve, need Steve. You know what else you get today? What else you need today? You need comfort food. And what I mean by comfort food is 502 Cafe. There was no way we were going to do a show from that studio today. And people, before we move any further, I apologize that we weren't on the air. I apologize. I wanted to be on the air. I knew you were patiently waiting. Some other shows found their way on the air, just not ours. Oh, I don't even want to joke around about that anymore. Welcome to Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150 93.9 is the number. Feel free to chime in because this is one of those days. Steve?
I think Ice Cube had a song.
Today was a good day?
About NWA that is pretty relevant to where I'm at.
You don't even have to go any further with
that. If you don't get that joke, then we'll leave it at that.
Don't search for it. This is not belly.
Whatever.
Whatever, Steve. I mean, listen.
So we're moving on.
No, we're moving right along. People, this is a reaction day. No, you know what? Today is reaction to the reaction day.
Yeah.
You spent 24 hours processing, interpreting, looking for ways to understand, maybe a little venting, maybe hopefully you still have a positive relationship intact with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers. Hopefully you were able to get through yesterday's bash session.
Yeah.
My words fail me at the moment from what yesterday is. But Steve,
it's for me, it's been a whole week of news I didn't expect. So
yes, sometimes you're the hammer and sometimes you're the nail.
Well, I've been the nail. So this week, so nail and Steve. And it was I think now you sit back and you take a deep breath and say, okay,
what now?
What now?
Plan of action, what now? I mean, okay, would you say that we spent yesterday and we have now gotten a full interpretation of the scope of what goes on? And let's do this right now, people. Let's make this disclaimer early in this show that we don't agree, we don't endorse, we don't support any type of paying for any kind of sexual favors. That's the nicest way I can put it. That's the most disinfected way I can put that. So I will not spend the rest of my day dancing around. Look, what we're saying went on is not right or wrong. So I won't spend my day doing that. We're all adults here. Well, most of us are. We're going to be as adult as possible and move forward with the conversation.
That's what this whole thing's brought to. I have to start my radio show with, look, it's not okay to pay for relations with a woman.
Right. That's where we're at.
I just want to clear that
right,
up.
Right.
Yeah.
No, because
now we'll move.
Because you're going to spend the next however many months or however many days and however many years that you spent previously trying to justify having a conversation that something you feel is not right. The handling of an investigation, the handling of a scandal, the handling of allegations. You spend your time having a conversation until somebody wants to turn it into a semantic argument. See, you said it was plural instead of singular. This is not gotcha radio. We are going to discuss what is fair, what is unfair, and what do you define as consistency.
Should
we be going straight to the phone?
I think so, because I think today's a day that people are going to want to talk, and we do. I mean, I think a lot of people feel the way we feel.
That's
today,
fair. So. Josh, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maven. Start us off. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been thinking about this, Marcus, and I've thought about it in the past, too. We can blame Andre McGee. We can blame coaches, but when you look at the big picture of things, what has the NCAA done? What has all these universities done? They've taken what's supposed to be student athletes, like any other student. They're learning to be professionals at something. That's what college and that's what going to university is about. That's what it's supposed to be about. But it's not about right. that anymore. Yeah. It's about the business side of things. These student athletes are just cash cows for the business side. And when you treat something as if it's something it's not, you're going to see it as something it's not. And when you do that, you're going to have people like Andre McGee do things like this. You're going to have UNC fake grades and do things like that. We have to get out of this money first business side of things. These are human beings. These are children, for God's sakes. And yes, I'm very upset about it because these are kids, you know, and that's the root of the problem here. It's society. It's the business of college sports. That's all I got. I got to go. Thank you.
Josh, listen, I appreciate the call. He's obviously been brewing on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, there's no better way to transition into the topic we'll have today, because this is morality time. And Josh opened it. If he was reading my notes, he would have saw this is morality police day.
Yeah.
This is, do you enforce rules based on your morality? Are you comfortable with rules being enforced based on morality because they agree with your morals? That's what this conversation is going to brew down today. People who morality see sex in the dormitory, paid for or unpaid for, or random, people who have morality issues with the conversation are not going to be swayed in the argument of fair or unfair with the discipline.
Well, because I'm going to use the word crime very lightly, but because there was no crime committed, but I think it's clear that U of L was punished on the details, not the quote unquote crime. I mean, and I think that's clear. I think the salaciousness of details. I gave you an example last night, which I won't give on the radio. But I mean, there's ways that I can say something.
Yes.
That makes it sound worse. I mean, and don't worry, it's bad. It's bad.
Don't do that. Don't spend today saying,
yeah,
you know, feeling like you have to backpedal on every
right.
statement you
you're
make.
Right. You're right. And the thing is I think the details of it is what you emotionally.
Prime example, Steve. We talked about it this morning. One of those footnote reports that just came out to support the NCAA's repugnant statement was the idea that the 16-year-old felt like he was under pressure or peer pressure, right? Peer pressure to engage in any kind of sexual intercourse, right?
Right.
Now, that conversation, Steve, on its face value, makes your stomach turn. The idea of picturing a scared
16-year-old,
you know, and a 35-year-old Katina Powell.
Oh God, don't say that.
Coming in there and, you know, hey, you know, I'm gonna do this. And
I'd rather, not, I'd rather right. not think about
like,
this.
No, it makes your stomach
but
turn.
But it does, yeah. No, that's true.
How about we picture it like this? One of the top premier athletes on the planet, a 6'7", 235-year-old LeBron James at 16 or 17 in your dorm room, right? Let's say it's a very pretty, what do you call them? Hostess from Ole Miss. These other schools who have been, you know, penalized for having hostess programs, paid women who entertain recruits.
They did.
Right.
They did. Tennessee, Oklahoma State.
Right.
Yes.
Paid hostesses who had sex with recruits, right? Having sex with a LeBron James supersized athlete. Feels a little different then, doesn't it? Right? It's not scared Timmy in the corner, you know, getting mature. It's not peer pressure, guy. It's LeBron James. Nah, I'm a little uncomfortable with this girl. No, thank you. Right? We're talking about 16-year-olds on the verge of being millionaire NBA players. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't separate when it's convenient for you and decide, oh, this is, you know, because sometimes you treat that 16-year-old like he's already a millionaire, right? With this Zion, you know, this Zion guy. You get away with flying. Hell, Julius Randle was courtside with Worldwide as a recruit.
Right.
And we just, oh, he's one of the top recruits in the nation. Yeah. Of course he has, you know, front row seat somewhere. We treat him like we want to treat him when it's convenient for us, when morality fits. Brian, who is that we got on line one?
Keith.
Keith, thanks for holding on and joining us on 93.9. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just,
Keith, we got you.
I've been following this, obviously, and a couple of things occurs to me. You know, the NCAA, one of their position is, well, you know, they really didn't have a precedent for this, you know, looking back. So they're kind of making it up as they go. Well, they do have a precedent. You know, look no more than Penn State. And in that situation, what do you got? I mean, you've got a criminal act. You've got Sandusky serving probably the rest of his life in a penitentiary. So you know, I read, what was it, a couple of months ago, after Penn State threatened them to go to court, they totally backed off their penalty provision to the university. And when I read what the revised penalties were, I was absolutely shocked by that. They reduced their penalty significantly because they were under threat of litigation. And
right.
So all you got to do is compare what they're doing now in the Penn State situation, compare those penalties to what they're trying to do to us now. I mean, it's a joke. You're talking about a grievous, grievous, criminally conducted outcome in the Penn State over, there were no charges brought and still won't be brought in the U of L case. So, I mean, there's absolutely no correlation there between the infractions that they're trying to impose on us and what they did in a far more grievous situation at Penn State. Second point is, I think it's an attempt, it's a money grab. All it is a money grab by the NCAA. U of L has been established as the most profitable, revenue-producing basketball program over the last 5 years. They want that money back. Question, if they get that money back, and I think we're talking millions. Are we talking
Don't say money back.
They're not going to redistribute it. It's going to go into the coffers of the NCAA. Now, you know, that's a joke in and of itself. It's absolutely just a money grab on their part. We should fight this vehemently and stick it in their face. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Listen, Keith, I appreciate the call. You made a lot of points. You were able to almost transition us directly into some, you know, some other points. Okay, so people, when we're talking about precedence, then we use the word comparison. When we use the word comparison, people so instantly go to something like Penn State. People, I need you to listen close. I need you to turn up your radio volume. I need you to tell people to be quiet for a second. Listen to what I'm going to read to you. Now, this is something directly from the NCAA. This is October 23rd, 2013. Now, I'm going to try to leave out the name because I want you to picture what I'm reading. Don't concentrate on the name. Concentrate on what is being said. This is an NCAA sanction report, right? Not a sanction report, a penalty, you know,
right?
You know, report. An infraction, you know, penalty given out, whatever. The University of Blank lacked institutional control when it did not monitor activities of a major booster, the men's basketball and football coaching staffs, student athletes, and prospects for a decade. According to the findings by the Division I Committee on Infractions, many of this school's violations were undetected by the university over a 10-year period. They centered on a booster, entertaining prospects and student athletes in his home, on his yacht, in various restaurants and nightclubs. Approximately 30 student athletes were involved. Several coaches, 3 men's basketball coaches, and 2 athletic department staff members were also involved. These staff members had a poor understanding of the NCAA rules and felt comfortable breaking them. Furthermore, of the coaches, provided false information during the enforcement staff and the university investigation. Does that not sound like a death penalty first sentence?
Yeah, I mean, a systematic cheating for 10 years, yeah.
For 10 years.
Across programs?
We're talking about basketball, football, lack of institutional control, participation of coaches, not assistants, not staff, you know, no, you included staff members and coaches. Fast forward, I'll just skip down to the bottom of what this, that was just the opening report. I can give you details of the report and all these things, and listen to these penalties. Listen to the penalty number one after what I read of lack of institutional control. Penalty number one, public reprimand and censor. Censure, sorry.
Yeah.
That's number one in the punishment department. Number two, 3 years probation. We've already compared 3 years to 4 years.
Yeah.
You had coaches providing false information. You had yachts, restaurants, nightclubs. This is not even a Penn State comparison.
Right.
This is an exact, direct, one-to-one correlation from the year 2013. Does that year ring a bell?
And for people, I want to interject here real quick, because for people that say, and I understand people that say, well, let's not compare to other. Part of U of L's argument back to the NCAA is going to be that, is going to be compare head-to-head cases.
Right.
You went above and beyond your own right. rules here.
Right, right.
Because, so that's why we're comparing. We're not doing the whole, oh, see, everybody's doing it. Well,
yeah, because at the end of this road, you're going to say, you judged us based on your personal morality and nothing more. That's going to be the final statement of U of L's argument. You judged us on some personal standard that you have never set before.
Yes.
You've given us the electric chair and then made a rule that says if you violate this law, you get the electric chair.
And I really think, not Homer, Steve, because part of me doesn't feel great about the banner, about them winning this appeal.
Right.
But I do think they got a couple legs to stand on.
No, absolutely.
Specifically with the red flags argument and the reinstatement.
I can't tell you how much I disagree with everybody who's super long shot and super, and this is coming from a Marcus who's won two appeals with the NCAA. Like, this is, you know, a leg to stand on is another opportunity to prove that your university operates above par. Everybody is susceptible to one rogue. Tim Donaghy was the rogue referee. You know, businesses always have rogue. Anybody is susceptible to one person abusing his authority inside a program, right?
Right.
So let me get back to the actual sanction
yes.
of what I just read to you. The next sanction, the last one I said was 3 years probation. The next one, 2 year show cause. I won't give the names. Show cause, suspension for the first 5 regular season games for a basketball coach. Now, people, in that first paragraph, I described sister cheating, yacht parties, you know, restaurants, yacht parties, whatchamacallit, clubs, nightclubs.
Right.
Nightclubs. The only difference is dorm versus nightclub, right? I've given you a one-to-one correlation, and I've given you penalties, one-to-one correlation, 5 games, regular season. And again, people, this is 2013. Another show cause, go figure. Reduction in scholarships over the course of 3 years. We're already talking about 1 year less in each sanction already. Self-imposed ban accepted. Postseason, right?
Yeah.
Reduction of official paid visits. You didn't know overnight stays.
Yeah.
Reduction in paid visits. Go figure. Okay. You will be fined a minimum of $100 per message per text message that's outside of the text messages time. So people, you see how kid gloves that was done? You see how reasonable those penalties, you know, sound? And again, people, those penalties, and then the last report, further penalties resulting from impermissible texts and phone calls are detailed in a public report. That's the final line in this situation.
Which makes you go back to say, was the, and I don't think I'm reaching here. I mean, I think, was the overbearing coverage of this on ESPN? I mean, ESPN, since they broke the story, they were not going to let this out of
the news media cycle. Yes.
And I think they kept the U of L scandal in front of your face.
Right.
Constantly.
You forced the NCAA to overreach through a national media marketing campaign. And speaking of campaigns, Steve Rummage, you know what was on TV at smack dab 5 o'clock yesterday on ESPNU?
I could guess.
Kentucky versus Louisville basketball game.
What come on after that?
Oh, go figure. Cal 30 for 30, none and done. Just so happened that your reporting catalog thought that June 15th was the day that we're going to do some Kentucky, you know, pro-Cal, yeah, and a little bit of Louisville versus Kentucky. Out of all the games, you didn't go Carolina versus Kentucky, which was the high-scoring game that everybody, you know, there was no record set, you know, other than Quentin Snyder tearing Bam Adebayo's, you know, little legs apart on a shake move. This game wasn't like an all-time great finale game. No, you just decided that yet again, today was the day to do it.
We got full lines.
I got to go to the lines then. People.
Yeah, yeah. I think Philly Carl's up first.
Brian, Philly Carl, thanks for joining me on 93.9. Let it go. What's on your mind?
What's going on, man? Let me let this out, man. Louisville will win the appeal, you know, just because of the precedent that you don't win the appeal. The Romans are going to be mad at me or what I'm about to say. Louisville needs to operate like a big college. When that girl came with these allegations, most big colleges, and Florida State is one, they would have paid that girl whatever she wanted and signed it, and had her sign a disclosure agreement where she couldn't talk about it because cops do it all the time, and this would have been over and done with. She couldn't have said nothing. She wouldn't have been all on talk shows and stuff like that. It would have been done with. So I blame a lot of this on the university, man. So I know your rumor's going to be mad at me, but once it happened, you got a damage control. And all they had to do, she didn't even want that much money, but you give it a little check, and then you have a signed disclosure, and it's done with. So I blame a lot of this on the university.
Man, Carl, I appreciate the call, my man.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And you're right. I disagree with you 100%.
But you're not mad.
No, I'm not mad at you. I mean, I get it. But I think the one thing that now you can't – Marcus, if my kid steals something from a store –
And again, Philly Carl, you understand that was extortion, what you described.
Yeah.
That was the same thing that landed a cipher in the federal penitentiary through attempted extortion. You don't negotiate with extortionists, but go ahead.
It's the reason why I tell my kid, if I see someone drop a $100 bill and they walk off, I pick it up and I take it to them.
Yes.
I turn it in because when I do it, there may be a moment where I go, I could have used that $100.
There will be many moments.
Yeah, where that day where I'm going to go, I could have really used that money. But today, guys like me and Marcus can sit here, and we love the university. That's clear. That's clear. If you listened to radio the full day yesterday, you heard a lot of people that we – for one, let me give a shout-out to the coverage on 93.9 The Ville yesterday and the whole ESPN Louisville networks. Killed it. Drew Diener on SportsCenter. Killed it.
Yeah.
Sweat a little bit, but he killed it. But I mean, you heard a lot of people that don't love the university.
No, they love their shows.
They love the story.
They love their shows. They love their name,
their
brand.
We love this university. And I think we're able today to sit on here and say, if U of L had lied about this and it had come out, hey, they found text
messages.
We were defending this the whole time, we would have nothing to say today. But we can get on here today. Marcus Maben, Steve Rummage, Brian Hall can get on here today. We can say Our university was up front, did everything they were supposed to do, and we can. And now I'm comfortable backing them full blow because, no, they did the right thing, and that's why the NCAA is out of bounds here.
I did not want to lose the audience that you were talking to in particular, the audience that says yesterday that I know you were emotional and I know how it felt, but this conversation that Steve and I are having with you right now, we had it yesterday. The people that look back and say, why did we even investigate ourselves? Why did we cooperate? That's a short-sighted view of the situation. The reason you build your foundation is the idea, again, Steve, the excellent point. When you find $100, it's going to sting over and over again. You know, later on, it's going to sting. But the foundation is laid for future teams, for future players, for the future. I know it sounds to you, it sounds cheesy. To me, when you've been a part of a university for 20 years, you are willing to have an awesome team and fight a NCAA tournament ban or whatever's on the background of this violation. I am willing to move forward, watch this awesome team, support this awesome team, and say, I am comfortable with the appeals process and taking this thing to the next level in favor of the AD or the coach or whoever else, or Luke Hancock, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
A MOP whose history is being threatened right now. I'm more than comfortable saying I'll fight for this.
A guy like Russ Smith, who scored a lot of points. Does he lose those?
Could you imagine?
I would assume so.
If somebody came to me right now and said, Marcus, because – you know, somebody on your team did something with a recruit back in, you know, I don't use years, back in the day, that anybody you played with and any of your teammates and your coach, all y'all lose everything you ever done for the university. You basically never went here.
Before we go to Eric, I'll just say one more time. Look, we jump on what was done wrong, but I will never criticize anybody for doing the right thing. And I think UofS did the right thing.
Yes, yesterday. We're going to give you a pass, people who called in and why did we do it, and we would advise every other university not to do it. If you still want, you know, college sports to be college sports, you don't carry that attitude of don't investigate. That's just, I mean, I get it. It's emotional, but it's selfish. It's emotional and it's selfish, and we got to get to the phone lines. Yeah. Eric, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I actually spent time yesterday watching some of the 2013 championship game before I went to bed, just because you can't take that away. But my main issue is with what the NCAA actually said. It was this not, correct me if I'm wrong, an impermissible benefits case, the way the infractions were, is about impermissible benefits, correct?
If it was, supposedly.
If it was, what is the bylaw for that? They said it should have been a level 3 penalty for those type of violations. Yet the lady that from the NCAA just goes, well, this is so repugnant, we made it level 1. If that's not in their rules, if they're not allowed to do that, you know, that'd be like a cop doing something to you. You have a misdemeanor, and he goes, well, I just really don't like it. You're getting a felony today. Are they actually allowed to do that? That is the main question I'm asking and that I think U of L should go after. Is that you can't, just because of how you feel emotionally, go against what the actual laws or the rules say about what you're supposed to do and what type of violation it is. That's my biggest thing.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Listen,
I
appreciate the call. I mean,
that's one of the legs Louisville has to stand on.
Impermissible benefits versus you enforcing your personable morality, because the same situation happened with the university that I read earlier, that 2013 paragraph that I read to you that happened on another ground, some type of way and I didn't read to you the levels of money of just directly paid finances between coaches, between agents, between players, between recruits, between paid for everything. It has every bit of quintuple the amount of money exchanged, the level of violation. But again, if there's nobody who feels like this going on somewhere else is morally wrong, then you're going to be the guy listening to the radio station or listening to the news report who wants to say, This is a place where I agree with the morals of the NCAA. So whatever punishment that they levy out, I'm okay with. But you're not looking at the law. You're not looking at precedents. You're not looking at fair, unfair. You're putting your own unfair opinion and inserting it into something. That's why a university like Louisville has to fight it, even if you don't agree with a moral stance. Steve, on the way here, I sent you the text message talking about the difference between the way a blue blood or major university with political power can get away with these things and way a considered next tier big time university can operate. When you let someone unfairly, you know, address a second tier,
right?
And I'm talking about size, university versus a first. That's how you keep the separation of blue blood university. That's how you keep a Cincinnati, a Louisville, or, you know, the other schools that Louisville was considered on par with 10 years ago that have first surpassed. You had to storm through by attacking, addressing, and saying no to unfair treatment or biased treatment towards your university.
No, I agree 100%. And that's why I say I think there's – Louisville really has a leg to stand on.
They brought the old Marcus out today.
Yeah, well, it brought the old Rick out in that press conference.
Ah, yeah, it did.
I mean, if you're going to say that, I mean, that was a Rick Pitino that sat in that press conference and said, in a press conference where they're talking about quote-unquote recruiting violations, he said, I had the best class I've ever had. Next year's is going to be better, and we're here to win multiple
titles.
Which
is going to make this more than comfortable fighting the appeals case. People, he listened to me now. This fighting this appeals case with a top 10 basketball team is going to lighten the load. Again, this is emotional time. This is fiery time. But the even the self-penalization, the investigation, and this NCAA stuff, like, it's all going to, because you know it's the right thing to do regardless of the results.
Yeah.
It's going to lighten the load so much. Trust me. Brian, who we got online? I'm going to let you control those phone lines. UK Vince, go ahead and fire away, my man.
Hey, how you doing, Marcus? I have a comment, and then I really need your help on something.
Fire away. We got to load the bank.
Oh, okay. Comment real quick. I really think what the NCAA was doing was just piling on in order to, I guess, get good coverage or make them look good for the media. I think they fully know that on appeal that half of this is going to get walked back. So I wouldn't worry about it because, like you said, there is no morality clauses in all this, and I think they way overstepped themselves. But this is what I need your help on, Marcus, and I'm coming to you because I brought this up three different times, and it seems to get just skirted away. And that is, it is absolutely positively obvious to me that there were other players in this other than Andre McGee. Case in point, Antonio Blakeney. This guy was not even at the University of Louisville, received a phone call telling when this recruit was going to be in town, what hotel he was in, and could you please set up escort. This is somebody that had something to do with the university. So every time Jay Billis even said, if I had one shred of proof that there was anybody else involved other than Andre McGee, I would change. Well, that isn't proof. I mean, he couldn't call himself. There's no way that he would even know that Blakeney was on campus. There's obviously somebody else involved who possibly could be still involved at the university.
No.
That doesn't even make sense.
I appreciate the call. Vince, it was Blakeney's guardian who contacted Andre McGee. You're reaching.
Yeah, that's reaching. That's trying to.
You have something set in your mind. This is what happened, Vince. This is what happened just now. You were wrong about how many people were involved from the beginning. You were wrong about Coach Pitino having any knowledge. You were wrong about the money because you thought the money was more than what it was, and you thought it couldn't have been coming from Andre McGee. I remember, Vince. I remember when you thought there had to be people that knew about it because, you know, it's all these other things. You were just wrong. So now the one thing that you tried to hang on to is an invisible middleman that connected McGee to Blakeney. And we already said, because you overlooked the fact that Blakeney's guardian was the one who was in between the Blakeney Andre McGee tie all together. Sean, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
What's going on, Fon?
My question is this. If they just hire strippers and there was no money exchange for sex, would that be a violation? And I think it's easy for people to know, yeah, there were strippers, but Andre McGee kept it a secret that he was paying these strippers to have sex with players.
Listen, Sean, I appreciate the call. Listen, that's the same, yet another case of morality and semantics. Because you're in the dorm, you make a verbal picture of running amok on campus. Do you think, and I'm not misdirection, but are we saying that, you know, there's no stripper? Think about this, people. Every basketball movie, every high school-based football movie, college and high school, has a stripper scene in it, has a sexual-natured party. Every single movie that you've ever watched from 1972 on has had some kind of sexual scene between young basketball players, young football players.
Yeah.
It happens over and over again. So why the outrage on this situation?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, that's kind of what is, and again, that's why I say I don't want to go into.
How about this for semantics? Katina Powell's representative Wilder releases a statement.
Yes.
Talking about how she's a fan.
This is good. Yeah. Yeah, do this.
Why, if Katina Powell is a fan, why has no one been able to write the words in their report, in their story, why has nobody said groupie who got paid extra? Because we said that on the first day. When we were talking about how this could happen, and I was trying to say, listen, in a basketball player mentality, I said it from the beginning, before the NCAA, before anybody, I said, Andre McGee is very close in ages to these young men. While some people see it as overseer and coach, he has a relationship almost like homeboy, right?
Right.
Eventually, that turns into the NCAA's justification for saying red flag because you knew those guys were close in age. I said that, but that's a different relationship. So now, Katina Powell is a fan, a committed fan.
Even yesterday, who
got a chance to hang out with the teams and the players she's a fan of. But nobody, not one time, used the word groupie.
No.
No, because stripper, and they didn't even use madam, because madam's too docile.
Yeah.
It was, you know, escort queen, and then that went away.
Yeah.
And it just, then it turned into pimp.
Yeah.
Pimps, hoes, prostitute. That's what that turned into.
It did.
You didn't, because groupie was just too natural.
Which is why I'll say this. This is going to get uncomfortable. I'm okay with this. It's why I think when SEC school Tennessee hires beautiful,
blonde, white girl
who is sleeping with players, and Oklahoma State,
Big
12 school does it.
Big traditional school.
Big traditional school. Escorts.
Those sly devils.
I think that there is a question to be asked. I mean, was this and just to show you, I'm not hiding anything. I'm not just trying to make – maybe it's because it was. Maybe it's because it was. Maybe that's what that was and maybe what this was. But they really – I mean, they really portrayed this as the
– Players Club.
The crazy black party, make it rain.
Yep.
Strippers.
The Players Club.
Yeah. Play. They said the song.
Literally.
What was it? Stacks on Stacks
was
playing.
Right.
I mean, like you get the you get the
visual.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You get kind of that. I'm gonna use words that if you're offended, just call Marcus and he'll clean it up for me. But just a real hood strip party, like what you would think of if I watched a movie that was just kind of
crazy.
You know. Yeah, no. Like that's what this was kind of portrayed as, and it's like, oh, that's just so salacious, so much more than this just beautiful young lady who is showing a very nice recruit,
a top recruit
from from, how does Drew do it? From Southern Georgia,
right,
or whatever around. And right, she just had sex with
right
him.
It's not sterile the same yeah way when you describe it the way it went down.
I think
there's
questions that is fair
it
to
definitely,
be asked.
Definitely matters. Who we got, Brian?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, thanks for joining us on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
Well, gentlemen, this is the first time I've had to deal with the whole scandal thing since being a fan last year during game day for the Florida State game. And it was kind of rough yesterday listening to that press conference as I was driving. But yes, my whole point was about this repugnancy thing or whatever. It's I don't know, this is kind of like a public opinion thing. If this really was repugnant, you know, if this is something that people are really, really bothered by, then the recruiting is going to go down. I mean, that's just the truth. And punishing these things as level one violations instead of level three when that's not even in the bylaws makes no sense to me. So that's all I had to say. You guys have a good day, right?
Jonathan, I appreciate the call.
That's a good point.
Or it's more evidence of these families and these recruits and these players that attend the University of Louisville right now that you can look them straight in the eye, because there's something to be said to look at Coach Pitino in the eye, to look at a Donovan Mitchell in the eye, to look at a recruit who you're coming to take his job. If you're coming and you're my same height and you're my same size and you're a wing and I'm Dang Adele and I'm VJ King and I can convince you that this was the right decision for me and I didn't play, but you should come here. That's saying a lot, even more to the recruiting prowess, to the environment that you have established at the University of Louisville. That's why when you get audited, you know, or you get investigated by the NCAA, that's why you say the first part of it's going to suck. That $100 that I found and I self-reported, it sucks because I'm broke this weekend.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's not happy. And, you know, my boy wanted, he wanted the Kobe's or whatever. But I could have done it all with that extra. Well, you could have actually done it with the $100. But you get the point. That is what is more impressive when you look at the bigger point.
I was going to say, because the bigger problem in that whole thing you said is who you buying the Kobe's from. You may have just bought some illegal shoes,
right,
man.
Right. From a chop shop.
Come on, dude. Hey, before we go to break, because I know we're going to go to break. We're going to come back, and we're going to be talking a ton about this.
Tell everybody where we are, too.
502 Cafe, by the way.
502 Cafe.
I got me a loaded Big Red up
on
here.
On a Friday, people. You want to ease away some of those tensions? I'm telling you, this is the place. It's all set up. The door, the air conditioner is blowing, but it's nice and hot outside. So it's a perfect balance between cool air in here, hot outside, hot food going. 502 Cafe is going to be a problem. But what point?
It is. And, well, I mean, just I think there's the news that's come out. I don't want it to. I feel like the baseball team's gotten overshadowed a touch.
Yes.
But if you haven't heard already, the Hauser Award. Well, going to the nation's best baseball player,
indeed,
won by Brendan McKay.
Of course.
I mean, of course.
Well,
you assume, but I mean, that's a big deal, and that's something that he's racking up awards, and the baseball team now, they're in Omaha, prepared to really do.
Ryan, do we have enough time to take one call before we get out of here? Or we should. That's that music. People, for the first time in a long time, 1 hour of my life just absolutely disappeared.
Well, 50 minutes we didn't get to go on time.
47 minutes.
47 minutes.
But other shows were going.
I love it.
I'm going to act like I don't have an attitude, people, because I don't do that. Mr. Positive, Midday with Marcus Maven.
At least you got your own show.
53.9 is the number on 93.9. We'll be back in three, The Ville.